Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It is Saturday, March 7th, and this is, of course, America's Heroes Group. Topics, public policy, veterans affairs, retired and active. We go on and on. We do so much. America's Heroes Group Roundtable. We are globally connected with and partner with Military Family Matters caregiver Keisha Jackson is with us, and we are always pleased to have her on. Keisha, how are you?
Well, how are you?
Good. Let me make sure everybody knows Keisha Jackson, 22-year retired Air Force veteran and family caregiver for her late mother, who had stage 4 inoperable lung cancer. Keisha started learning about caregiver resources to share with other caregivers. And we just appreciate what she is able to do and the information she gets out. Also, with Keisha, we have Mike Carducci. Mr. Carducci, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, and thank you for having me on, you and Ms. Keisha, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Our guest, Mike, 31 years civilian federal employee with the U.S. Department of Defense and a family caregiver. And what we want to discuss is something that's very important for both of you, misconceptions about the male caregivers, misconceptions about male caregivers. That's something that a lot of people wanted to talk about. They are, or perceptions. This is something we want to know. And our call-in number, of course, is 312-374-8130. Keisha, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have this topic this month. I know that March is National Women's Month, but on March the 4th, it was actually National Sons Day.
And National Sons Day.
And Carducci being a caregiver for his late father, it kind of ties into one of the topics that you had just in your last call when you were talking about, like, the PTSD. That there's, like, there's 40% of the 40 million caregivers now are men. And so a lot of times we talk about caregiving from a female perspective, and you don't really hear it from a male perspective. So I thought it would be good to introduce that. And also because Mr. Carducci, his father, he'll talk more about that in terms of Alzheimer's and dementia, but the Department of Veterans Affairs had reported an increase of like 166% of veterans with Alzheimer's over the last decade. So I thought this would be a great topic to talk about, even whether it's a person actively caring for someone or maybe a spouse, children or parents that are listening, to help them to understand that a lot of this is coming in terms of like dementia and Alzheimer's and the veterans is because of traumatic brain injuries or because of PTSD and different things like that.
I think that makes a very important issue, Keisha, and I'm so glad that Mike is here to tell us more about this. Mike, go right ahead, please.
Well, my father served. He was an immigrant from Italy, and he served, and he became a 100% disability rated veteran. So we actually had a lot of support from the Veterans Administration in taking care of my father.
Before you go further, that in itself is interesting. He was an immigrant from Italy. How old was he when he came here?
He was 18 and a half.
And when did he go into the military?
Shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I thought so.
He, my dad was very much involved in, education, but he had a thirst for education. And he was told that if he went into the military, he could fast-track a U.S. citizenship, but also as part of the new GI Bill, he could go to college and get equivalency degrees here that he had over in Italy. In Italy, at 18, he had had basically master's degrees. He spoke seven languages, had advanced degrees in mathematics and physics. So that thirst for knowledge and the GI Bill put him right in the service. And so his 100% rated disability was through his service, obviously, in the military.
What was he in active duty?
What
war? That was...
He was in... it was during the Korea War.
Korea War, yeah, that's right, okay.
However, he wasn't in Korea, he was in Yugoslavia.
Okay, all right, yeah, a lot of people know about that. That's true. So he, tell us what exactly did happen with your dad.
He was on patrol, and I don't know specifically, he didn't know specifically what had happened. He just knew that he collapsed, and he woke up on a ship coming back to the United States. Hmm. And he spent 13 years in and out of a mental hospital because of the injuries sustained.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So from a perspective of what actually happened, it is pretty much unknown.
Wow, that is something. That really is something. And you were the secondary caregiver for your dad, right?
Yes, my wife is here also listening in.
Oh, okay.
She was the primary caregiver.
Okay.
And I had that pesky day job.
And, oh, that's cute.
When I was done with my work, I would come home and give her whatever break I could. And I was also basically the caregiver's caregiver. And it was a tag team that we did, but I must point out that she did probably 95% to 97% of the heavy lifting with my father, who was her father-in-law. I mean, she's just an amazing, amazing person.
Well, I think there's more amazing than that, Mike, because your wife's name, I think, is Bobby.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. And you co-host a weekly podcast for caregivers.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell the name of that is what?
It's called Roger That.
Uh-huh.
And Roger was actually my father's name.
Wow.
So it actually honors him, our podcast, trying to help the caregivers through the heavy haze of dementia. And we've had some amazing guests. We've had researchers from the United States and the UK. We've had elder law attorneys, folks from CEOs of caregiver activities. And we're very, very proud of our podcast.
I think that's great that you would do something like that, and also your wife.
Yeah.
A call-in number, somebody wants to mention this, is just great. 312-374-8130. Keisha Jackson, Air Force veteran and caregiver for her family. And Mike Carducci, 31-year civilian federal employee with the U.S. Department of Defense and a family caregiver. And we're just so pleased to have them both on because... The information they put out is just
be honest, I actually did some military time also with the Army.
Oh, good. Okay, tell us.
I was a reservist on active duty, so
okay.
I wasn't retired and I wasn't in the line of fire or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually do have that soft spot for the veterans as I am one myself.
I got you. So you were reservist on active duty. What unit were you in, Mike?
I was with the Intelligence Center and Training School in Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
Okay. All right. That's something. Okay. Yeah. Fort Huachuca's got a lot of publicity in a number of things over the years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I would like to point out that we met Ms. Keisha in Chicago at the National Caregivers Conference in November last year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, that's how we got to know Ms. Keisha, and I got to tell you, she is just a lovely, lovely person with a lovely heart.
Well, that's just great. That's just great. Keisha, what did you think of Mike?
It's kind of hard to say, and it's not say like this, but you know how you can say love at first sight, but
yeah, right.
Don't disrespect to Bobby at all, because she's equally just as sweet. But when you have people, especially when it comes to your family and your parents, that you are the ones that are their caregivers, and because we are born for our parents to care for us. And so when you meet people who are caring for their parents or caring for their in-laws, there's this immediate connection sometimes that you get. And because with dementia and Alzheimer's, it is such an important topic. And I think that although Alzheimer's or dementia is behind heart disease and cancer, I believe that it is costs more, like $259 billion a year for this. So I'm really excited to be able to have Mr. Carducci on the line and be able to talk about it and talk a little bit about his experience, his background, the radio show. And Mike, if you could just tell a little bit about maybe some of the experience with your dad, you and Bobby had with your dad.
Well, one of the things in Italy, he grew up on the east coast of Italy. And I didn't find out this until well late, not too long before he passed away, maybe a year or two before he passed away, back in 2009, that as a teenager, him and a friend would sit with a rope, and the couriers for the Nazis would go up through their town, and they would clothesline the couriers off the motorcycles, grab the courier pouches and take them to the Allies.
Wow.
And this is something that I did not know until just before he died. And I asked him about it. I said, Dad, why didn't you ever say anything about this? And he looked at me and says, you had to do something. He was just so non-assuming and so non-pretentious. It was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And this blew my mind.
That's amazing that they would do that, because that was... That unquestionably was a risk.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They had been shot at.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But, so, you know, they took over the town, the village, the farms. They were pushed out of their house. There was that from the very beginning, from living in Italy, so then serving in the army.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, besides his thirst for education, he... had a sense of duty with the United States. With him, he had a bevy of issues. It wasn't just the dementia. He had Parkinson's. He had congestive heart failure. He had a valve replaced in his heart. He had COPD. He had swallowing issues. My wife had to puree all his food. And he had to have all his liquids thickened, and a little known ailment that my wife has diagnosed as stubborn old Italian disease.
Oh, that's funny.
So he wasn't an easy case.
Yeah, well, how could he be? When you think of the things he went through, the things that he did,
yeah.
Come on, Mike. I mean, my goodness, there's no way, you know, that your dad could.
So he was always so positive, and even though he didn't have the life that he had thought he was going to have with all his education and things of that sort, he always says, "I'm so lucky."
Wow.
I am so lucky. Anytime I needed a job, I was always able to have a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was able to get married. I was able to raise two sons. I'm so lucky.
Isn't that great that he felt that way? And
I guess
he was.
What
yeah.
I said about him being so non-pretentious.
Again, Bobby, the you're the co-host of Roger That, a weekly podcast for caregivers. That's got to really be interesting to do that.
Well, it's one of the ways, one of the many ways I decided after taking care of my father-in-law and knowing how difficult it was and knowing that I had fallen into that hole that Keisha sometimes mentioned, or I call it walking into the brick wall, having no idea what I was getting into. I knew that I wanted to support caregivers going forward, and I actually started doing that through writing. I've written a couple of books in support of caregivers. I lead a caregiver support group. I speak at caregiver conferences and in my local community, doing whatever I can to help caregivers. Sometimes I hear from caregivers who say that having done it once, they could not do it again. If asked to do it, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I also tell people, having done it, I wouldn't make the same, mistakes, but I'd make different ones, because every day is a challenge, and mm-hmm. what works today may not work tomorrow, or definitely won't work tomorrow. And I kind of drew Mike into this, and now we have this, and together we're supporting caregivers.
Which I just think is great. And what you're doing, a lot of people, of course, this is what this show is about. The American Heroes Group and bringing up things like this that people wouldn't even know about. But dementia cost the United States $818 billion, with a B. Billion dollars per year. And is estimated to increase at an even faster rate than the number of diagnoses.
That is so true.
Yeah, and for people like yourselves to do this.
And a lot of people get hung up on the, you know, the aging baby boomers, but the early onset is growing by leaps and bounds also, mm-hmm. which is not the elderly. It's people in their 30s and 40s and 50s.
Isn't that something? It is amazing.
Yeah, I have a coworker.
Yeah, Keisha.
Mm-hmm. I had a coworker. I think he was like 45 years old. I mean, very, very sharp in everything. And then one day we found out that he has frontal. I think it's frontal temporal. I can't think. It's FTD. But he just now he's at this place where he was doing everything. He was out leading, and now his wife says the only thing that she could do is give him a cell phone for him, and he just plays games on his cell phone, and that's like all he can do.
Wow. It's so sad.
Yeah. Yep, but thank goodness there are people such as you folks that, you know, understand the need, and that's why we wanted to really have something about the perceptions of male caregivers. You know, a lot of people don't realize how many folks like Mike there are, and others, who are helping people, not only family members, but just other male folks that are in need, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And I do want to mention that we're going to have Bobby on the show one month as well.
Oh, okay. That'll be great.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Yeah, that will be great. Well, I want to thank the three of you, and I just think it's great, you know, what we know, of course, what Keisha Jackson has been doing, and we just love that. And Mike, I think it's great what you're doing. Just continue to do it. I love that. Roger that. I think that's just great.
Yeah, it's rogerthat.show. And also, you had mentioned about the different months and the days. This is actually, March is actually National Brain Health Month.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you were aware of that.
No.
But we're so pleased and so honored that we were asked by Ms. Keisha to come on the show, and absolutely honored to be on the show with you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. That is great. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you both. And Bobby, thank you also. All right?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much, Keisha and Mike. And we're getting a call in, but unfortunately we're out of time. Stay with us. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. Stay with us. We'll be back with more in just a moment. War is not the answer.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hey Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services. And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group radio talk show. It's an honor to salute the bravery, sacrifice, and legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen, shoulders of excellence and resilience that helped to pave the way for all African American soldiers, men and women, past and present, to serve.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group radio talk show. Gerard Moore, you are a millennial, and I appreciate your support and appreciation for our veteran population.
Yes, Cliff, it's an honor for me to show my support and my appreciation always, especially during Black History Month. Thank you, veterans.
If your home could talk, it
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And we are so pleased to be here and to giving you more and more information about various things. America's Heroes Group, this is Roundtable on Cook County Community Outreach. This is very, very important, and we have a very important person here who's going to help us understand exactly what it is This is about the Cook County Complete Court Census Commission. The census count starts April 1st. And I hope you know what the census is, because we certainly want all of you to know. Jordan Sorrell is the Director of Public Policy and Research for Cook County Commissioner Stanley Moore, a Stan's commissioner from the 4th District. And the census count consultant, the person who knows more than any of these people, is none other than my good friend. She's just wonderful. Deborah Crable. Deborah, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing extraordinarily well.
I can see that.
Now that I am in your presence, in your studio, engaged in conversation about a very, very important issue.
This is a great issue, and I'm so happy that you are hooked up with this, because it's really important, and we have our good friend Doc. Tell us what you're doing here.
I'm here. I'm listening in. I'm listening about the census and the importance of the census. I'm happy to find out about it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it.
As a veteran, I mean, the key thing about the census, and of course the census count happens every decade, every 10 years. Mm-hmm. The federal government will count every single person that is residing in the United States. Why do we want to do that? Well, we want to know how many people are here so that we can know how we need to divvy up the money, the federal money from your taxes that you pay every year, and how they will be distributed to each state, each county, each city, each jurisdiction throughout the area. The group that I am with, we are charged through the Cook County Complete Count Census Commission, is to identify those hard to count communities. And these are the people that traditionally do not show up on the radar in high numbers for completing the survey. Most of those communities include African American, Latinx, LGBTQ. We have homeless populations, college students, and veterans. So we want to, that's why this conversation becomes very important, Cliff, to your listeners today, because we want them to know that they, too, need to be in the count. I have a gentleman that is joining us from the Cook County Complete Count Census Commission, representing the president of the commission, Commissioner Stanley Moore, and that's Jordan Sorrell, who is Director of Public Policy and Research. And we welcome you to the conversation, Jordan.
Yes. Thank you, Deborah. Good evening, and good evening to you as well, Cliff.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be on this evening.
Yeah, we're pleased to have you. Thank you so much. This is really important, as she's mentioning, since you're the Director of Public Policy and Research for Cook County Commissioner Stanley Moore, because if folks aren't counted, we don't get the money. As simple as that. And the thing that I'm really concerned about to all of us, and Doc, you're in this too, this isn't anything secret. I was in a meeting not too long ago with the wonderful lady who represents the 2nd District, and somebody said, it wasn't about what we're talking about now, but somebody mentioned during the meeting that I said in another meeting that had nothing to do with the census that we will probably lose a congressperson.
Mm-hmm.
Her response says we might even lose two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is, you know what I'm talking about, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But this, you know, this is bad news.
Yes, it is.
So that's why I'm so glad that there's people like you and others that are, this is extremely important, because we'll suffer more than anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. So so what you, I want to underscore what you're sharing is that one of the other things, one of the benefits, the outcomes of this count is determining how those political districts are drawn. And you've been in politics all your life, and political gerrymandering, that has determine the outcome of elections happens right. all the time.
Right.
And it's always based on the number of people that are in a certain geographic area.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it becomes so important
mm-hmm.
for everyone to take on the responsibility mm-hmm. of completing that census survey. It'll be coming to you in the mail this month. This month, by mid-March, you should have that form in the mail. Because we're high-tech, you might be able to get that same survey via email.
Mm-hmm.
What we need you to do when you receive that communication is to complete it, send it back via snail mail, or go online and complete it, which is real quick, fast, and convenient. Some people will say, oh, not the internet. If you have a cell phone, and I'm sure you use it to search the favorite movie that you want to go and see or your favorite restaurant that you want to go to, it's the same process. It's just that simple. We also have people that are on standby, our census champions and ambassadors that will be available to assist you one-on-one.
Good.
You can do it on your phone even. You can call and say, look, I need help completing this survey.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will be available to walk you through. Same thing online. We will be having centers that will be set up
Good.
Where we'll be offering you information where you can go, and those people will be able to assist you on site. Jordan, jump in here and mm-hmm. please share, because I think you have some specific information.
And let me just say this before you. You know, those of us who've been around a while, like me, they tried to do this to us before.
Mm.
The second district.
Yes.
Yeah. You remember the gentleman? They tried. But we were able to fight that off. Jordan, you probably remember that. We were able to do that. And
sure.
Yeah, and we need to do the same thing this time. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'll chime in here. So
sure.
the census is probably one of the most important census, not only of this decade, but I would say of our lifetime.
Yeah.
So Cook County Commissioner Stanley Moore, the 4th District, who serves as the chairman of the Cook County Complete Count Census Commission, along with President Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, Cook County Board Commissioners, and others have been taking this a very serious approach to make sure that we have a complete, accurate count as possible. Commissioner Moore is no stranger to the census as well, too. His father, Stanley D. Moore, is the longest-serving, just recently retired employee of the U.S. Department of Commerce, served over 7 censuses with the National Census Bureau, and does the programs that we see today, as Deborah's talked about. So when we go into local communities, when we have our local government partners and others, that was through Commissioner Moore's father, Stanley's leadership, to make sure that we had a complete and accurate count as possible, because, again, our roads, our neighborhood schools, our local businesses, I just heard commercial about local business, to our veterans are going to be impacted based on if we have an accurate count or if we don't have an accurate count. And it also can mean, too, who represents us, not only in Washington, D.C., but also in our state house, in our cities, and also in our local communities as well. So having the most complete counts possible, not only for all of our areas, but particularly for Black and Brown communities, is vital, because we only have one chance to get this right. And this is why this census is extremely important to do so.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And I hope if someone listening has a question, 312-374-8130, you can ask the gentleman right now, Jordan Sorrell, or Deborah Crable, and find out exactly what you need. You can do that now. It's going to be easy. This is what I don't understand. Yeah, Doc?
You know, I have a question. You know, because mm-hmm. You were mentioning the homeless population, and, of course, mm-hmm. you know, a certain percentage of the homeless population are veterans. But how do you actually reach the people who are homeless? And then also there are people who are incarcerated. And right now, I know PUSH had put this big thing out about making sure that they have the right to vote, because many of the people who are incarcerated right now have not been convicted, mm-hmm. but they've mm-hmm. been in there for 7 years waiting for a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have the same right to be counted?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
some of them have been there so long, when they finally do get in front of a judge, they let them go, but they would be gone anyway, you know, because they'd been there longer than they should have been.
Should have been,
so,
for the
yeah.
offense.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, though, what happens with the census mm-hmm. is where you are most of the time during the year. On April 1st, you're going to be counted.
Oh, even so if you're in prison.
Correct.
So, oh, good. Okay.
For instance, if my cousin mm-hmm. is at, or my mentee is in college at U.S. Illinois Champaign, he'll be counted in Champaign, not in his home area on the South Side.
Okay.
Or a relative that may be incarcerated, they'll be counted where they are. And so the census has information where they have it through the Secretary of State and others, where they have that type of information and data. But for our homeless population, they call it a one-day enumeration. They're going to go out and go out to the Pacific Guard missions, go out to the tent cities, go out to other places where homeless are, and they're going to do an active count of those people as well.
Now, that I'm glad to hear that, but what do they put down as an address?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I know with those that are incarcerated, correct? So, like, if we're in, talking about Joliet or we're talking about our Cook County Detention Center, they'll be counted at that location. I would have to actually get back to find out more where they would be counted. For instance, if they were in Tent City off of Roosevelt Road.
What district?
Mission,
yeah, exactly. Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you were asking the question, too, about how do we reach them. Mm-hmm. And there are service organizations that will be going through, and a lot of media outlets are also supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
We have issued grants to well over 75 organizations, not-for-profit organizations, that have direct reach into these hard-to-reach communities. Mm-hmm. So we are activating and accessing these populations through those organizations and through that network. So to that end, we're hoping to really get a really broad spectrum mm-hmm. and have an accurate count. Let's underscore accurate. So the invitation that I would like to extend to all of your listeners today, Cliff,
mm-hmm.
is to take on that census challenge. So on April 1st, we are challenging everyone to complete that form. We want to be the first ones to say that we've got the most people in that have completed the survey so that we can get the dollars in to fund the programs that are needed to provide housing, the medical programs, schools, roads, right. transportation, that we might be able to create better circumstances for those individuals who are living in a condition of homelessness. So, and even specifically, Jordan, you had information about the veterans and the impact that the census can have and the numbers that we actually have, which I found to be pretty extraordinary.
Good.
Sure. So one of the interesting facts that I found out is that according to census data right now, we have about over 595,000 veterans in Illinois. And in Cook County alone, we have about 164,000 veterans. So let's step back for a second. For every person that's not counted in the state of Illinois, we lose about $1,400 per person over 10 years. That's so take that number and multiply that over 595,000 veterans. That's a significant portion of resources that veterans are getting. So the veteran benefits, mental health services, the veterans may want to go back and either be small business owners or just go back and get a quality job. Those are services and dollars that are lost and may not get recaptured if we don't get them accurately counted. But the one thing I do want to clarify, though, is that April 1st is Census Day, but we don't have to wait until April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting in the middle of March, and it's going to actually be in this next week. Every household receives invitation to go on and complete online.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as they say, the early bird gets the worm. Mm-hmm. We can start when we get the form, when we get the invitation to complete online, but also on that April 1st, as I support that point, mm-hmm. we make a concerted effort, not only our veterans, but our friends that are in social services, our homeless, our incarcerated, our college students. We get them really motivated and engaged to do so. Because, again, as I said earlier, we only have one chance to shape our future for the next 10 years, and it starts now and starts today.
Now, we want to make sure, too, Jordan, that April 1st, and that's a very important date, but if you don't do it then, you can do it later?
That's correct.
Yes, so, I want everybody to know that. Just if they miss it, they can do it later.
They can. Mm-hmm. So what the Census Bureau does is when they send out the original, the initial invite and don't respond, they're going to send additional invitations.
Good.
Once you get to about three invitations, you don't respond, they're going to send a physical hard copy. And then in early May, they'll start to send out what they call census takers. So they'll come to my apartment building or my mother's house and ask, well, I see you haven't done the census. We want to make sure that you're counted. And so there's going to be multiple opportunities between the middle of March through the end of July for every individual to complete the census.
You know, that's what I want everybody. Yeah, Doc, go right ahead.
There's one other, you know, thing I was thinking about. You know, we were talking about the homelessness, but one of the statistics that's out there is that there are about 17,000 homeless children attending the Chicago public school system. And then also, I was thinking also about the skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes, those kinds of things, and, you know, whether there is a effort to go into those arenas and count people.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. And I'm glad you mentioned the children, because oftentimes people don't think they should be included. We need every child under your roof to be counted.
See, I'm glad that came up. Age doesn't matter.
No, age does not matter. As
long
a matter
as you're
of fact,
breathing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's where we wind up leaving money on the table.
Exactly.
By not counting those children, not counting those in-laws, the senior citizens, the mothers and the fathers that are living under your roof that you were taking care of.
But I'm just so happy that Dr. Arnold mentioned that because children, as you all know, sometimes are not even thought of.
Exactly.
Ever. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going through the daycare centers and the child service organizations, DCFS, all the organizations that touch or have an impact on families, mothers, and children. Even, you know, the places where battered women might have to go.
Right.
So these are, we're going everywhere that you would not think of traditionally going so that we can make sure that every single individual is in that complete count.
Everywhere from the schools to the jail.
Yep, schools to the jails. We're there. And wherever you are, know that it is okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's really an interesting point because I've been going around to several different hospitals and talking to the OB providers. And one particular hospital I went to, they said that 80% of the women who give birth show up in the emergency department with no prenatal care, and over half of them are involved with homelessness. Mm. And so when that baby is born, I'm not sure if they're counting them as well.
Good point.
That's another life.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it is where
what about that? Yeah.
That person is being is where they are at the particular time, right? So if they are at where they're getting their services and or where they're living, that's where they're going to be counted. And I want to go back real quick, Cliff, because you asked me an important point earlier around where do we count our homeless people? So we count them where at the address of the shelter that they most frequent for services.
Okay.
So if that's at Matthew's house, if it's at Catholic Charities, where they are, that's where they're going to be counted.
That's where they're going to be counted. Okay.
Correct.
So when Dr. Arnold mentioned that children born with had no prenatal service or whatever, Jordan, would they be counted? They should be, obviously, but is there any way anybody can take care of that?
So I think Jordan? To Deborah's point, it's around the outreach and it's around getting to those populations, those people that are getting the services to say, you know, we want to make sure that you and your child or whoever else in your family is able to be counted at the particular location. So I think, to Deborah's point, the outreach is a very critical component to do that because if we don't know it, we may not do it. And so that's why this outreach effort is very extensive with Cook County in partnership with our colleagues in the city of Chicago. I want to give credit to Lori Lightfoot for a $2.75 million investment and also to our governor, J.B. Pritzker, who's put $29 million for a statewide effort as well, too, because we know that it's a collective effort to make sure that all residents are counted from the prenatal to the veteran to the child that may be homeless, Chicago Public School, to the person in the senior center.
And we will be doing a full court press with information about this during Census Week, which starts April the 30th. Mm-hmm. So we want everyone to come inside.
Census week is what now?
Goes from April 30th, mm-hmm. and so it overlaps and goes into April 1, the official launch and of the census count.
Tell me again.
So March the 30th.
Oh, March
the 30th.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were saying. Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
So we'll, it's the census information week.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And that will carry all the way through for 1 week where we're going to mm-hmm. do a full court press mm-hmm. of getting information out about the accurate count, the accurate census count. So inside of these conversations, we're hoping to demystify and take the fear out of completing the census. We recognize that there are a lot of communities, specifically immigrant communities, yeah. that might have trepidation to say, what, the federal government wants to ask me questions about where I am and where I live?
And the head of the federal government's telling me I'm going to kick you out.
Right, exactly. So right. we understand that. But what we want you to know is that completing the census form is completely confidential. Mm-hmm. Completely confidential.
Glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
That's extremely important.
Absolutely. So don't step out of the count on that fear.
Yeah.
Be in the count so that you can get the money and the resources.
That's right. You'll benefit by it.
Exactly.
I just hope that the leaders of those communities, Deborah, the politicians, we've been through this together before, are there telling the people exactly what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would be, I wouldn't blame them, for being fearful when folks are talking about these non-citizens and so forth,
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Jordan?
So I know from the work that Cook County Commissioner Stanley Moore has been doing,
mm-hmm.
his colleagues from the Illinois Black Caucus, so leader Kimberly A. Lyford, Alderman Jason Irvin, who's leading the Chicago Black Caucus, and also other coalitions as well, too, have been very active. So in community forums, on Facebook, in any area and way that they touch the residents that they serve, have been talking about the census, just not now, but for the last over a year and a half or so. And I know they're going to be talking about it through July because of just the immense importance of, the census. Is important to them because it helps them represent, advocate for the resources, the programs, and the people that they serve. So it's been very encouraging to not only see that through our collaboration with elected officials, but also our community partners, so our labor partners, our interfaith groups, our schools, et cetera. So it's been an all hands on deck approach, and it's been very encourage you from where I sit to see that occurring day to day.
Dr. Arnold has a comment.
One quick question. I'm really learning a lot here. I'm so glad I'm here.
I'm glad you decided to join us.
Yes. And, one question was, for people who have a visa or a green card, what is their status as far as the census is concerned? So people who have been here, on visas and that kind of thing, are they counted as well, or is that a different?
And you got to give us a quick answer, Jordan.
Yeah.
So simply put, mm-hmm. any individual that lives in the United States is counted.
Okay.
So if you have somebody in your household on a visa green card, they're still counted as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jordan Sorrell, thank you so much. Director of Public Policy and Research for Cook County Commissioner Stanley Moore, 4th District. Thanks to all of our. Deborah, great to see you again.
Always.
Doc, thank you so much
for
joining
us. Thank you for teaching me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Glenda is going to close us out, as always.
Bravo, Glenda. We love you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Coming from a seasoned professional.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, she is. Respect. Regarding any questions or concerns about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wicker Drive, Suite 4250. As always, we thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected to future news, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and the communities. As always, we are so grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Crusaders articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members, which can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders Weekly article with the one and only, the Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, please call the Chicago Crusaders, 773-752-2500. To all our global listening audience, we thank you all so much. On behalf of Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, thank you for listening every week. Thank you to our technical producers, Titus Williams, who helped us get organized in the morning, and Mrs. Latariara Randall, for keeping it all balanced. Have a blessed weekend on behalf of America's Heroes Group.